Show CRS Radio, the Knowledge Station, and you're listening to your girl, the talk show Viva, Sister Cecile. Top of the evening to you all. It's 2022, and Happy New Year! Happy New Year it is. For those of us who have made it so far, for those of us who have made it into 2022, let's be thankful. We have a lot to give thanks for. Now, for many of us who have lost a loved one, you have my sympathy. Yes. It's just a sad situation. So in honor of your loved ones, cherish the memories. They say memories don't live like people do. Now, 2021 has been so unkind to many of us. It really hit hard. Really did. We have lost quite a number of people, prominent people. And yes, we have lost Betty White, a loved individual, one of the Golden Girls. She was just her 100th birthday. And yeah, Bishop Desmond Tutu, a Nobel Peace Prize winner, Colin Powell, and the list goes on. We witnessed massive forest fires, unpredictable weather episodes from devastating heat waves to extreme cold temperatures, the shootings of unarmed Black people, Black men continue. But you know what? We've been getting some breakthrough in the judicial system. So we are happy for those. We're really happy for those. And we're happy for those. And yes, 2021 really hit a big punch. You know, with this new COVID variant, the Omicron, it's blazing trails. It might not be as extreme as its sister variant, the Delta, but it sure packs a punch. Now, this is just my opinion. I believe every single person is going to get COVID. It's just a matter of time. It is just a matter of time. It's just a matter of when. But it's going to happen. This is just my opinion, right? Don't take it as the law. It is just my personal opinion. We have seen devastating tornadoes wiping out whole towns. Yeah. But we need to give God thanks for, you know, for his mercies towards us, for where we are right now. So many persons have been lost during this pandemic. Now tonight it's Give Back Jamaica time, and I see my switchboard lighting up. So I know there are many persons on my switchboard are listening who have been students of the Crescent Primary or Crescent All Age, now the Crescent Primary School. And this is what we're going to be talking about tonight, giving back to the Crescent primary school. Now, for those of us who don't know anything about this Give Back Jamaica or the Crescent Primary School, the story of the Give Back Jamaica Crescent was born from an idea of simply giving back to an institution, the Crescent All-Age School, now the Crescent Primary School. Yes.
You ready?
I'm on. Yes, the Crescent Primary School. Oh my God, my listeners, please forgive me for that one. Yes, so we have started out this project. The idea came about from a past student of this noble institution, Dr. Evers, we call her, and we have embarked on this project. And we dub this project the Give Back Jamaica. As the name suggests, we give back to the institution in the form of scholarships, lunch money, which we the lunch money program, we dub that as the Bellyful program. And the shoe and socks donation, we call that the Kickers Club. And now we have the One Desk, One Child. And this is a project to furnish the classrooms with desk and chairs, fitting the classroom with desks and chairs resembling the new age, because many of us who have been to Crescent School, like in the 60s, 50s, 70s, 80s, no use from the 60s are the ones that are still being used today. And I can tell you that them look really bad. They look really bad. You have some long nails used to hold these bench and desk together. That, you know, children need an environment that is conducive to learning. And if we're going to if we're banking on a good future for our children, we have to equip them with the necessary tools that would allow them to be successful in their learning environment. Now, with the small donations we have received through our website, thegivebackjamaica.com, and I implore you all to go to this website, givebackjamaica.com, and make a small donation. It doesn't matter how much. I mean, there are $20, I think $25 for, there are specific areas that you can log on to in order to donate. But you don't have to do that. If you don't have $50, you may have $10. $5, $20, just go ahead and make that small donation. We truly, truly, truly appreciate anything that we get. Now, the donations from friends and our personal contributions, through that, we have managed to exact success on some of the projects that we put forth. Now, in July of 2021, 12 scholarships were given to needy students of the Crescent Primary School. Now, you can also sponsor a student. In that way, what you do is you up to $50 per month to a child. We put it at $70, but you can go up to $50 where you give this child every month, and in that way you will get to see the child's report, the child's progress report. You will get to communicate with the child. You'll just get to follow the child's progress. The child will become like a niece or a nephew to you. And trust me, we have seen this work, because all these kids that have gotten these 12 scholarships, these kids are really fast forward. These kids are picking up steam in their mannerisms, in their attitude towards their teachers, in their schoolwork. So we see that the venture is really, really progressing. And we just implore you who are listening to us to come on board. Come on board. Help us. Help us to make these children's life, you know, better than what we had. Many of us, especially students, I'm talking to students of the Crescent Primary School, we know how we were hungry going to school. We knew at times we didn't have school shoes. We didn't have lunch money, but somehow we made it. And honestly, if we had somebody, a foreign relative or a foreign friend could just give us something, or somebody just to pass something along the way, some of us would have been much, much better off in life. Some of us could have fared off much better. A lot of families back then had up to 12 kids going to school. My mother at the time had 12 of us. All 12 of us were in school. And at the school went from the grade 1 to the grade 9. And at any given time, my mother had 9 children at the school. Nine children at the school. So we know what, and it's in lieu of this that we are trying to help the students of the school. So we are truly asking you, come aboard. You may not be able to give a $50, you may not be able to sponsor a child, but we have what is called the Kickers Club, where we donate a pair of shoes to a child. And you can come on, give you $30, you know. And on the 22nd of September, come back, my brain is going. On the 22nd of September, we had a donation drive for school shoes at the Crescent Primary School. And I think we have donated over 300 pairs of shoes. And it's all because of the donations that we've gotten from our friends and past students of the school and some people we don't even know. So we're still asking, we're begging, come aboard with us. Come on. Now, this school, we had success in this venture. We had success in this venture because it went off flawless. Children the children came and we just didn't give them a pair of shoe. We fitted them with a pair of shoe and sent them on their way. And there are stories told about students who came to get a shoe and the piece of flip-flop that they wore to get their new shoe, they leave it the same place. They walk away and leave those shoes the same place just to show how happy these kids were to get these shoes. So again, come on board, join us. Now we are currently on this drive to get these desks and chairs, because we want to bring back Crescent to its former glory. At one time, Crescent was the envy of all the schools in the Caribbean. Not just Jamaica or St. Catherine, the Caribbean. Crescent was the creme de la creme. Everybody wanted to go to Crescent School. And I can tell you, as a product of Crescent Primary, Crescent All Age, I boast every day. My language, my mannerism, how I stand, how I sit, I learned all of that from being a student of Crescent All Age. So Crescent is doing great things. Now, another success that we had in 2021 was the Christmas in November dinner, where we hosted the 12 students that got the scholarship. We hosted them, their parents, and the faculty of the school in a nice dinner. And it went off again, that was flawless. And folks, I want you to see where your money is going. We want you to see where your money is going. And so when we ask for your donation, we're not playing around. We are definitely not playing around. So tonight I have with me my friend and sister, who I want her to come in and tell you about, you know, I want her just to come on and highlight again, re-highlight the successes that we've had so far. So the Give Back Jamaica continues on a donation drive to allocate funding for the One Desk, One Child project. I know we appeal to all our listeners. Help us to help a child, because my future depends on it. And as I've always said, to whom much is given, much is required. Dr. Ev, welcome to the show, Dr. Ev.
Thank you, and Happy New Year. Happy New Year to all the listeners. Thanks so once again for giving Christ-centered myself a voice on your show. So really deeply appreciate this.
Thank you. No, Dr. Ev, I'm not sure if you were listening to my, you know, my little monologue, but I was just boasting about the successes that we've had in 2021. And we're looking forward to more, better, and bigger things in 2022. So as the brainchild of this Give Back Jamaica Crescent, I mean... Tell us how you feel about 2021 and the successes we have, and looking forward to 2022, what are some of the things we have in the pipeline? Just go ahead and take the floor.
Well, again, once again, thank you, and thank all of the wonderful folks out there who dare to make a contribution to a child. And this is something that is not light. It is something that is of a magnificent feat. When we started Give Back Jamaica officially,
we seem to have lost Dr. Ev. Okay, so... let me pick up where she was, you know, she was talking about when we officially started the Give Back Jamaica, the Give Back Jamaica charity program. As I said before, it started with her idea. I know she was a student of Crescent, the Crescent All Age in the 60s. So, she knew the hardship that she endured at Crescent, going to school barefooted, and she would always say her ground thunder, I mean her foot, her bare foot on the ground going to school, you know, taking your lunch with your two little fried dumpling and all of that. I think we've had Dr. Evie's back, taking her two little fried dumpling to school with her. And so this is as a result of this, it has dawned upon her to help, because if she had somebody to help her back then, probably her life would have changed in a different way. Our directions would have gone differently. So Dr. Ev, I think we have you back. So continue speaking for us.
Yes. So most of the donation that we got is really has gone to help us in so many different ways in making all of the projects that we have possible. We have the really successful project, maybe once in the pioneer, probably we become the pioneer in having a Give Back Jamaica in terms of the club, which is our shoe drive. And we had some really amazing story, kind of really rip your soul into pieces. We had so many gripping story. One lady took her two boys to get a pair of shoes. One of the feet of the boys was so tiny, she was unable to get a fit at that time for her boy. And she insisted, if the other boy got a pair of shoes, which neither of them had, the other little boy was not going to go away empty-handed. And she asked us, please give me the shoes. I will stuff it up with newspaper so the other kid can have a pair of shoes to wear.
Wow.
That don't lift your heart and your soul, I don't know what else with. We had two other incidents, so much, but I just highlight a couple of them in the space of time. There was another little girl who she got a pair of shoes fitted, and she had a flip-flop on. And when she got the shoes and they fitted, she jumped up and she literally ran away and left her flip-flop there, never to come back.
Wow.
So we have all of those beautiful, beautiful stories. To say giving a child a pair of shoes is no little feat. You can give a child a game and they get excited and they will play their game. But giving a child a pair of shoes is giving a child hope. It's giving a child that they can stick their chest out.
Definitely.
You know?
Definitely.
And giving them that pride. And that's what a pair of shoes does. I've said many times on this show, growing up, I had not a pair of shoes at time to go to school. But your big grub thunder, I know that the whole thing will get a laugh out of that, a chuckle all the time. But at the times that we were going to school, being barefooted wasn't somebody to look and say, oh, your foot looks this way, or your foot is crooked, or you didn't put enough Vaseline on your foot, or your foot is too white. Well, our focus wasn't there. Our focus was on other things. Nowadays, even when you give a child a pair of shoes, it is a problem because it has to be the shoes that is in the fashionable thing. So children now have a much more difficult time when it comes on to their clothing, their outward appearance. And that either makes them really a target for bullying and, all of the other horrific things that students can take along with them, plus, hunger. As we have in our belly food program, a lot of them are either not getting to school. They don't have a shoe, but they also don't have money. Their parents don't have money for lunch. Marcus, if they don't have money for lunch, they're probably not getting breakfast either.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the one meal that they get is if they have a good sound lunch at school, that would mean the heartiest meal that they will have. So we're trying with our program to also institute, we call the Bellyful Program, and such a wonderful, wonderful name. And that is just $25 per month that would feed a child, give a child a healthy lunch for a month. And if that's not giving you some kind of joy to make a contribution of $25 to feed a child, consider. We could be feeding the next Usain Bolt, the next
Prime Minister of Jamaica.
Exactly, the next Prime Minister. They can tell you.
The next doctor that is going to... do your heart surgery.
Absolutely. The next physician, the next nurse, the next lawyer. Hopefully we don't need too much of the lawyers, but the next teacher, just about all of the productive people in society. Not saying that lawyers are not productive, but you don't want to have the problem, so you have to have them litigating anything for you. But these are the programs that we're starting. We are targeting Crescent School for the time being because that's my alma mater. That's who I am, where I'm sitting or standing right now. It is a part of who I am, and so is the host and so many of you who might be listening. But if you know the history of Crescent School and you know the history of Mrs. Hervin, then you'll understand why this is so important. We have so many projects in the pipeline, but all of them need funding. As everybody knows, funding makes the mule gallop. And we don't have a lot of galloping status right now. We're just about figuring how to get our 501(c). For those of you who know about nonprofit organization, you'll understand is that federal mandate that gives the opportunity for folks to write off a lot of stuff off taxes. So big companies who want to get some tax kickback do make donation to nonprofit organizations and make
the organization are able to succeed and do wonderful things. But most of all, what we are dependent right now is individual donation like yours, yes, and yours, and those of you who are listening, yours and yours and yours, and your friends' friends and all of those. If we can get everybody just to give a small donation, you know, a big amount of us giving a small, not a hell of a bit, because it's tough and hard on everybody, especially in these times, is absolutely more than challenging. But if all of us come together, one coca full of basket,
full basket,
say, you know, every maker making a muckle. Absolutely. So if we have everybody coming together and making contribution of small amount, that will fill up the basket. That will make the muckle. And it is so wonderful when we can have the community coming together. I'm building the community, and that's what we would like to do. You did mention about one desk. You did mention about the one desk, one child. That's another of the programs that we're looking for. That program has a little more hefty price tag on it. But if we have an accommodation where students are not able to sit comfortably, or even have a chair at all, because I understand a few classrooms don't have chairs. The system in Jamaica, some of the schools, the furniture has been run down 40, 50 years of furniture. Luckily, those furniture were really hard and tough pine. I think they were pine wood, so they really lasted a long time. But nothing lasts forever. And these desks are being patched and repatched and made and remade. They have just done their time. So we're reaching out to you guys. Sponsor a desk for a child. And you can put a little, you know, a little word of encouragement on the desk. We'll have your name embedded in the desk. We can have whatever you'd like.
Whatever you'd like.
Yeah, whatever you'd like to put on the desk to kind of say, well, I donated this. And of course, you know, we'll have a little ceremony with the desk. It's a donation that I think an organization, a family could take to take into consideration, a group of folks. Also, a desk, as we priced them out, we also have a prototype of the desk at the school already. We bought from a company that is ready to ship as soon as we have the funds available. It's $100 per desk. And, you know, I know that may be a little bit hefty for a lot of folks, but as I say, a group coming together and over a period of time, you can make small investment of $15, $10 until you reach the $100, and we'll have a desk in your name. So it is a task, a real big task. And in the time of COVID, when we can go out there and actively put on fundraising effort, we have to be creative, and we have to depend on individuals more than ever. So we're reaching out to you guys to help us in whatever way that you can.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr.
So
M. I'll come back to you, Dr. M. This is the Caribbean Radio Show, the CRS Radio, the Knowledge Station. I see Auntie Judith. But before I go to Auntie Judith, I just want to say that my switchboard is all lit up. So if you want to join into the conversation, especially those who are were students of the Crescent All Age School, just press 1 on your keypad and we'll see you and we'll take your call. I want to give a shout out to the man from Louisiana, Mr. Clyde Davis. Yeah, Thank you, Clyde, for your donations, and we're looking forward for, you know, I mean, you told me you're going to be doing this as a monthly thing, so I am looking forward to that. And again, thank you, Mr. Davis, and thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us. No, Auntie Judith, good night and
yeah.
Happy New Year. How have you
good
been?
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening, sweetie. Good evening. Where have you been hiding?
Under a rock, no.
Oh, I wonder how much.
Happy
I wonder,
New Year to you, too.
Thank you. Thank you. I wonder how many
of
those.
Happy New Year to our
sister. Thank you. I wonder how many of those food cakes have you eaten?
Just a smidgen.
Dr. Ev, you hear to do this laugh, you know that something is not good. Something is something is
a
not
minute.
Good. But folks,
you have to remember, you know, a minute on the lips, a lifetime on the hips.
Oh yes. Loud and clear. And that is what I'm running away from. I don't want any on my lips. I don't want to make it up anymore in my hips. So I'm definitely staying away from that one. Now, folks, Auntie Judith, I mean, is one of these persons who is very instrumental in soliciting funds for the Give Back Jamaica program. And Auntie Judith also sponsors a child. And she is so proud. Now, Auntie Judith, tell us about your sponsorship and how how is the connection between you and your nephew? Because as I say, once you sponsor a child, you get the name of auntie. The child now becomes a niece or a nephew to you. So Auntie Judith, let's hear what you have to tell us about your sponsor and how you and your sponsor, your niece or nephew, your nephew actually is going along.
All is going well. I am so proud of him. You know, every time I speak to him, he makes me just, I don't know, send chills down my back.
Mm-mm.
He's a very well-spoken young man, and I can see great things coming from him. You
wow.
know, so I'm just proud to be a part of this and a part of his life.
So, Auntie Judith, tell the folks who are listening how they can become a sponsor. What does it take for you to become a sponsor?
It does not take much, ladies and gentlemen, listening audience. All you have to do is, you know, get in contact with the Give Back Jamaica program, or you can go online, givebackjamaica@gmail.com. Am I right, Dr. Ev?
Yes, you're right.
Or you can. Yes, you're right. But in addition to that,
Jamaica,
in addition, givebackjamaica.com, the website, you can go to
Gmail.
The website, givebackjamaica.com. The
Give
website.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It's easier to go to the website. You just click on the website, givebackjamaica.com, and it drops down
right.
beautifully. And you see that section that says D-O-N-A-T-E, donate. And as I said before, you don't have to give $1 million. 10,
no,
20, 30.
Absolutely
I mean,
not.
We take anything because, as Dr. Ev just said, every little make a muckle. So, folks, who are listening, if you're listening right now or if you're going to be listening in the archive, we want you to go to givebackjamaica.com and make a small donation. You will thank yourself for this. You know, that is just what humanity is. Am I right, Dr. Ev?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. This is the Caribbean Radio Show, the Knowledge Station, and it is Give Back Jamaica. We're talking with Auntie Judith and Dr. Ev. And listening on my board. My board is so is the board pretty, man. Come on, somebody touch you. One on your keypad if you want to join the conversation. I know there are a lot of persons here who have been members or students at the Crescent Primary. Come talk to us about Crescent. Come talk to us when you used to walk go to school gate with your little change in your pocket, in your red skirt and your cream blouse, and go across the road. And you used to go by Sock, your party from Mr. Dudley. Huh? Come on. Come on, let's hear it. Dr. Ev.
I hear you talking. I hear you talking about that, and I have to kind of really be spilling a little bean there, because I know I saw a show that you set up. One of the persons who may have some big time history, or Crescent, Miss Lynette, that usually sell at School Gate. I see a show that is set up that she'll be a special guest. I am going to be excited to hear that show next week.
Me too.
I'm really excited.
Me too.
Pinning my ears for that.
Yes. Miss Lynette, a lot of you on here knows Miss Lynette. No, Miss Lynette was a fixture at Crescent. So, I mean, if once you pass through Crescent, you're going to... I'm not talking about knowing them, I talk about then. You must know Miss Lynette because she was always there. Even on the days where we have sports day, Miss Lynette, sheer ice and bag juice was the in thing. So, join us next week for this, this fantabulous show, where we're going to speak with Miss Lynette about her time at Crescent, and we're going to, in addition to that, we're going to have another show where we're going to talk about remembering old time Jamaica and the herbs and the bushes, and no more fitting a person to join us on that show is also the same Miss Lynette, because the people didn't know about the bushes. So come join us next week. The show promises to be filled with fun. So let's get back to our giving back to Crescent Primary School. As I said before, we want to bring back Crescent to its former glory. Crescent School was the envy of all the schools in the Caribbean, not just the primary, the St. Catherine, not just the island. It was of the entire Caribbean. Crescent was the creme de la creme. And many students who have passed through Crescent have gone on to become, they're all over the world. Doctors, lawyers, engineers, top of top. Crescent, a bar school. When you have on Crescent school uniform, and you know, Dr. M, not to stray from what I was saying, when you have on Crescent school uniform in the evenings, you better go check off that. You better go check off that. You don't want Mrs. Irvin, Mrs. Irvin, when you talk about Crescent School, you talk about Mrs. Irvin, you didn't want any of the teachers to see you in uniform. So I say, well, home, go take off your uniform. Uniform is not meant to be walked around in after school. And the uniform has to be nicely ironed. And that is why a lot of us learn to iron, and a lot of us females and males too learn to iron, because you had to starch that red skirt, pleated skirt, you had to starch that, and the blouse also. So, Dr. Ev, Auntie Judith, I know that your stay at Crescent wasn't a long one, unlike that of Dr. Ev and myself. But tell us, did you wear this red uniform?
No, I didn't. Mine was green.
Okay. So Dr. F, she's a baby.
I was only there for 1 year.
She's a baby to Crescent School. We wore the red. Now, Dr. F, tell them about that red uniform and how we cared for that uniform, especially when
our time there, that red skirt and white blouse or cream blouse.
Cream
blouse. And actually, if you were there a long, long before, because as everybody knows that we are English colony, so basically we pattern a lot of things off English. And actually, we usually wear a beret. If you guys know what a beret is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And when Poppy Day, if you see the folks in England have their poppy, their red poppy on, when Poppy Day, we had our little red poppy on, pinned onto our shirt as well. So it's a lot of stuff that, the whole island of Jamaica, of course, coming through the British system that were adopted. So we had buried, a lot of us were buried in Jamaica. I mean, not divulging my age, of course. I'm happy where I am still. But just to tell you how long. But to care for our uniforms was, that is mandatory. We had Mrs. Irving 8:45. We started school at that time 8:45. 8:45 is leave time. And she would lock the gate and you line up for your beating with that cowskin strap. And she would put her hand, she was left-handed, so our right hand would go under our breast because our breasts were really huge breasts. And they would up, down as the stroke of the bell. They would come on the same rhythm. Yes. So she would put her hand on her breast to kind of keep them steady. Mm-hmm. And you will have to, you have a pencil that you would push, she would push through the boy's hair. Because although you have nappy hair, if you combed your hair, the pencil would still be able to go through it, you know, without, you know, bucking or, you know. So that would know if you combed the hair. You would have to show your finger, your nails, the long nail thing wasn't fashionable. And your nails have to cut short and there could be no dirt, as they call it, dirt in your nails, because dirt in your nails mean you're possibly have germ in your nail. So in the midst of COVID, that's another thing that, you know, we should all pay attention to. We wash our hands, but we never clean our nails. So sometimes we don't focus on cleaning our nails, but we wash our hands. And that's where, you know, all kind of bacteria and stuff get stuck into, especially if you wear nail polish, ladies. Mm-hmm. A lot of things can get stuck up on that. But when we, as girls, we pride ourselves with hiring in our uniform, and that's usually like Sunday night, or if you're really on top of things, it will be Saturday sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you starch that uniform, and, of course, we didn't have electricity, so you have to get coconut ox, and you have the iron. The iron is really iron. It's a iron, and you put that iron into the stove. Sometimes if you are really a little bit more having, you know, financially well off, you'll use coal, the charcoal, in a little tiny charcoal stove, and you set up your iron. If you didn't have that, you have to get coconut ox to iron, to heat the iron, and that would be used to, you sprinkle after you starch the uniform, and it dry, you sprinkle it, and then you iron it. And I remember for it to be nice and a little bit beautiful, it's shiny, we usually all put a piece of paper bag over when we're shining it. So sometimes the iron have a little, leave a little white mark on the uniform. So you use banana,
the banana leaf, and clean the iron.
Yeah, the banana leaf, and you pull it off to clean the iron to make it short. I don't know why that is such a good cleaner.
It doesn't only clean the iron, it gives the iron that oiliness. So when you run the iron over the uniform, that gives the clothes that sheen.
Yes. So, and it makes it really, really nice and take off the ashes off of it and really make it nice. And it also preserves the iron as well, because the iron could be a little rough. Not very much, because there is a cast iron, like, so it doesn't get rust. But it needs a little oil. We usually put salt, pork, to rub the iron so it doesn't get, any kind
corroded.
Of it makes it nice
it
and smooth. The corrosion makes it nice and smooth.
Call it seasoning.
What was
okay?
Seasoning. Oh, yeah.
Call
yes,
it what?
Season.
What did you
just
season.
Like all your seasons? Just like all your seasons, the frying pan.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new one. I've never heard it like that.
Yeah,
but all I know is that we used to rub the face of the iron on the banana and the dry banana leaves. And I believe that is, you know, where you get the shininess from, your uniform shine. Yes.
Mhm. Yeah. So, I think now you have students going to school. They don't have anything to do. We really had to do work for school in preparation for school.
Mm-hmm.
And Monday morning, sometimes your uniform is so stiff as a girl, you can't move with it. When you sit down on those pleats, and of course you have to fix those pleats to sit on the bench.
Yes.
And sometimes when you get on off the bench, the uniform just pop out like a little big butt.
Mm-hmm.
And take the shape of that. So it's usually be really girls and boys, because boys wear khaki, the khaki shirt, and those had to be ironed and starched too as well. When later days they had the khaki that didn't need the starching, I guess it had some polyester in it. Also, the girls' uniform as well. So it wasn't that difficult to care for. But you had to make sure your clothes were ironed, because no wrinkled, dinky clothes was not going to be acceptable. So poverty was no excuse that you weren't properly dressed with your one uniform.
Mhm, mhm. You know, Dr. Ev, on the weekends, like you prepare for the uniform for ironing. We would go into the bushes and we would get like the logwood. We chop the logwood and the coconut, the dry coconut husk. We would take those. We go with a crocus bag or what we call burlap bag. We would go with one and go in a far up in a bush, and we would go and pick up those coconut husk. The dried coconut husk, we take them back with some logwood. And when you make that fire and you use the coconut husk to back it around and you drop the irons on top, you have the piece of, two pieces of steel on top of it, and you put the irons on it. And, you know, one person sit there and man the fire, and one clean the iron and pass it to your mother. And so the smooth ironing keep going, the ironing keep going smooth, you know. So I think I see Auntie Martella on here. Auntie Martella, come into the show, no man. Come into the thing. Yes, come tell us how you used to prepare your uniform for school. Because I know Auntie Martella is a country girl too. So Auntie Martella, tell us how you used to prepare your uniform for school.
Oh, my goodness. Happy New Year, girls.
Same to you, girl.
Yes. So you're talking about the high earning.
Yes.
So my thing was, you know, my mother used to have like three of those, the one with the handle.
Yeah, man, sad iron, they call them the sad irons.
Right. So we used to cause my father used to burn coal. So we used to get the fine one, the fine coal, and we put it in, we make up three stones we use. And put the two pieces of iron, like you were saying, on top of it. And then we put the iron on top. The three of them like this. And push up, keep using a piece of stick, pushing up the coal. But right, so the iron, they could. Yes.
But
here you talk about the banana leaves. The banana leaves, the green one, is the green one we used to use, you know, and shine off the bottom.
Oh, we use the dry one.
You see, man, the green one can use too.
And
then you keep putting...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Martin.
Go ahead. No, I said when you keep shining it on the green one, it becomes a little dark and it keeps drying. So, you know, it still have the moist in it to keep the bottom shining. But, and then my mother have another piece of cloth. But she rub it off again on. Once you rub it, then it gets, you know, gets more clean. Then you put it, but you have to, because you see the dry, the wet banana leaf, it cool it down a little. That's when you put it on the uniform, it don't get burned.
Okay. Well, I'm learning a lot. I am learning a lot. You know, folks on here who are listening, come and join the conversation. Join in. I know some of you are students of, were students of the Crescent School. And even if you weren't a student and you're Jamaican, you went to school in Jamaica, and we know that all of the schools in Jamaica wear uniform. Every single one, from baby school to top school, we wear uniforms. So come on and tell me, oh, you prepare your uniform. We're just jumping into this, and we just jumping over everything because we want the show to be, you know, put on a flare on the show. Yes. So Dr. F, there are two kinds of iron. There was one that you put the coal in and close it down.
Mm-hmm.
I think they call it the self eater.
Our tailor iron.
The tailor.
Your tailor iron.
Yeah, okay. That's the one the tailor used more than it. Well, that is very aristocratic. That's when you had some money. But I'll agree with Auntie Martella. We use the green banana leaf, and that gives you the moisture too on the iron, and it cools it a little bit because you can burn up the cloth just like that by just touching it. And one of the most horrific thing that we do, when you want to say, I know heat it is your mother with, like mom, or even ourselves, after you get skill, you hold the iron and you feel it to your jaw. You feel it to your jaw. You don't touch it. But you know how much heat is in the iron by how much heat you're feeling on your jaw.
So there's
a lot of skills that were involved. If you had a tailor iron, you were really, really up. I like the ingenuity that you had with your parents. Somebody there fanning the iron. We never had any iron on, kind of metal at the top of the iron. We just have the coconut ox or the coal. Well, Auntie Martella, the fine coal, our daddy not going to sell too much.
Not going to sell. That's not going to market. So that's just fitting for the market. I feel
you are
that.
Exactly. Yeah, kind of want a big coal. So when I'm fine, that you get to use the fine coal.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just how.
I like how Auntie Martella came in with that.
The coconut ox really held the fire. It hold the heat. Mm-hmm. And also the coconut shell. It gives the coconut ox is a different from the coconut shell, as you guys know. And those two things, they hold the fire, the heat a lot. Now when the logwood, that is a prized piece of wood. The logwood is where you use to all the barbecue because it has the fragrance. It is so beautiful when you chip a piece of logwood and see the color in it.
Yeah.
And it is a hard wood.
Wood. Mm-hmm.
And when you have a fire with that, it sustains the heat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you really want in the iron.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or else if you just use any little thing and the iron, it will just hot on the surface, but it don't
have
the whole entire iron. So you want to have a long time where you really iron that thing. And you know, just to divert a little bit, I'm just talking about it and I'm looking at the women in Jamaica, how hard they had to work, because iron your husband khaki clothes, because they wore a lot of khaki, even the men. And their clothes had to be ironed. You iron one white shirt with that iron where you get out of the thing, and to clean it off. And Auntie Martell, yes, I remember that extra cloth, that after you clean that, you use the extra cloth, and you hold the cloth in your hand too, you know, and because you have to get the side of the iron. You have to get the side of the iron.
Yes, yes.
to make sure.
That's
especially when you're doing that white shirt thing. Mm-hmm.
You spoke about the khaki, the men wearing khaki. I think it used to be called a seaman khaki.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is depends on the type of khaki. Dungaree and khaki at those times was the kind of working clothes.
Okay.
You know, the seaman khaki is a kind of, the khaki come in a whole different step. Nowadays, khaki is fashionable to even wear to fashion anything because of how the material, just like jeans, dungaree at them times was a rough, tough material. Now you have jeans, what you call jeans, although it's a little bit, for the most part, you know, hard. It was about 10 times as hard and tough.
Mm-hmm,
you had
mm-hmm.
to, you couldn't use your hand and wash like, you know, we do a lot of washing hand. You have to use a coarse brush to wash the cotton pants and beat the dirt out of it because it was so hard to wash.
Wow.
So,
well,
So, woman, just give me an opportunity to just say big up to the women of Jamaica who really have to struggle so hard, who the cake soap and the carbolic soap was so full of, and give them Whitler because the caustic soda was so much in those and damage your hands so much. I mean, we're talking about, we have a lot to thank our granny and our great granny and our moms. Now life is much easier in terms of work. You have washing machine and you have somebody to help sometime, but you have a washing machine. The materials are different. And when you're in those times, when you wear one dungaree, it's not one day you put it in the wash.
The
you
water.
Wear it out for the week before it get washed, so it's really dirty. You know, it's not soiled clothes, it's dirty clothes. So, I mean, for those women to, sometimes it was so hard that they had to boil the clothes. You have a zinc pan and you boil the clothes.
Especially the white ones.
And the white one.
This
and
too.
Then you blew it. You have, then you blew it to get the color. You put a ball of blue. And you put it in the blue in the water, and you do it. We have also, when you rub up the material with the soap, you put it in a plastic bag and put it in the sun, and that will kind of keep the color. Because you as a woman don't want to have a white shirt on the line, and it don't white. It has to be white. It can't be no bad color shirt, as them call it. A white shirt,
you
have bad color. Yeah, it
you
has
know,
to be white.
It's amazing that you're, you know, giving shout out to the women of Jamaica. And I can say my mother, she was a superwoman. At the top of the show, you know, I spoke about my mom having a child in each grade of the school from grades 1 to 9. My mother had a child in every single grade at one time in her life. She have grade 1, grade 2, grade 3. And then sometimes they'd be at school and, you know, you just look out of your classroom, out of your classroom, and, you know, have no dress-up clothes, you know. She just like, she just come out her yard, same way. And I mean, when you were a little kid, it never used to bother you so much. You're like, yes, mama, come and we can walk home with mama. But then when you start getting bigger, now you start seeing mama come back to you. Nah, look out there, no. You know? Nah, look out there. Because something mama come back. Because, listen, mama was a fixture at Crescent. You will just see her out of the blue. If her mind tell her, so we nah do nothing at school, she come. If her mind tell her so with her school of fight, she come. So it's good that you can, you know, speak about the women because they were the ones you see at the parents-teachers meeting. They were the ones you see mainly selling them little things, them little guinep, them little mango, them little sweet sap. And, you know, the more sophisticated ones who used to go to Kingston and get the little crush-up biscuits and the mash-mash and the gizzard and the cut cake, you know. you know, they were the ones you see sitting at the school gate and selling their little stuff, because they knew they had kids in that school who they wanted to become somebody. And I can speak of all the many families on Brunswick Avenue, the Dobbs, the Beach, the Lewis, you know, the Townsend, the Kennedys, I mean, all of those families, and those families had a lot of kids. And the mothers were always the ones you would see coming to the school gate. And you can testify to that, Dr. F, because your mom was always at the school.
So well, my mom was always at the sea. My mom was a fixer. But as you say, we have to honor the woman, and I wish one of your shows would be in the honor of the Jamaican woman. It really warms my heart to really think about how much they are the backbone of the country, and how much they have brought the country to where it is, and how much they have invested in their children. And at the same time, it's tearful to see how sometimes they have been treated, and the work that they have put in, that they're not being, healed for.
Appreciate
Yes, it wasn't a very easy life. Still, it's not an easy life. They didn't get honored and treated and send flowers to on Mother's Day. Most of them didn't know what it is to have a birthday or a present or to be hugged and kissed, and their nails being painted and their hair being done. Although I'm not saying I'm not a painted nail person, but just to tell you about just being pampered, just to be pampered and show real affection. I don't think a lot of them knew that. If you would have brought that to them, there would be a little giggle and shyness about it. I'm almost sure. So this is something that, getting the opportunity to honor those women, and we here as part of those women, for us to really honor them is an honor for us to be here, because if it wasn't for them as our mother, we wouldn't be doing the things that we're doing right now. A blessing for them.
When you think about these mothers, especially my mother, 2 years or a year and plus. By the time she drop one next one on the road. So, because most of us are like a year and a half apart or 2 years, she was a breeder. So all they knew that time, you know, was just to breed and have a child, and, you know, and the fathers, I mean, it's just that, it's not like they don't care. But that was like their pastime, because I used to ask my mother, what would I call that if I breed so much time? But I'm glad, because I would not be here if she had heeded all if she had heeded the warning that I was giving to her, or what I was saying to her. If she had heeded that, all the likes of me wouldn't be around. But a big up to, you know, all the mothers back then, mothers now, mothers to come. Big ups to you, because you are the backbone of society.
When you talk about the woman, let us talk about just a little bit Mrs. Irvin in honor of her. Because at that time, to have a woman holding that position, just to show you how powerful and how the leadership in Jamaica, when it coming on to women leadership in Jamaica, not only in the home, but out in the workplace. You're talking about the late 40s, early 50s for a woman to be taking the reign like she did. Wow. This is a whole different show for honoring those women, and I'm sure there is so much of them that is in that position. But I like to go down to the grassroots of women, the woman like your woman, your mama, the woman like my mama, my granny. Those are
the
women
woman like
who
auntie, the woman
walk
like
in
auntie.
With washpan pan them head, and oh my gosh, never knew what it is to be hugged and loved.
Yes. You know, I'm saying, even Auntie Martella's mom, I remember her. My mother used to sell in the market, and her mom used to sell, and her mom used to come and sell her coal. And sometimes you see them just black with the coal, and like, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. You know, soot cover them just to make a living. So trust me, Martella, is your mom still alive?
Yeah, she's alive. Yeah, yesterday yeah, every New Year, everybody celebrates, every family come together. So I had a video call and see everybody enjoying themselves.
Oh.
Yes, she's there.
Wow.
My mom
I remember
she's like,
her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
oh,
she's
she
at 86. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
So I remember her. So women like this, Dr. Ed, your mom, my mom, Martella's mom, Judith's mom, you know, those were mothers who... I mean, you're right, they never get any love from their husband. We never see them kissing. We never see them hugging.
Yes.
We never see them get any Valentine's Day gift. No, all you see, you know, your ear, you see nappy out pan line, you know, so our next year is
come.
Right? So it's not that you saw them being hugged and kissed and being told that they are loved. And you know, sometimes
loved.
I think about even us as how we grew up, and sometimes this is the same thing that reach us where we don't have a man to tell us that, oh, you know, babe, I love you, or you know, you have to, as a woman, you know, you have to seek for this, and you have to make it, like, put it into your relationship. You know, because...
But at the other hand, too, I am not... it's a two-headed sword. We come to America, and it's a different culture. Back in Jamaica, nobody says, I love you, but it doesn't mean we have a different way of doing that. We never usually hug up anyone and kiss anyone. And being in this country and sometimes being a single person, you don't have a man to say I love you. We don't. The Jamaican woman at that time, and I know me getting an end of this, we don't need a man to tell us who we are. We don't need a man to provide for us. We don't need a man to chop a tree down for us. We don't need a man to jump on a donkey and go to market. We don't need a man to make up a core skill and draw a core skill. We don't need a man to cook our food. We don't need a man to milk our cow. We don't need a man to kill our goat and perform and do all of that. We don't need a man to do that. We don't have the emotional stuff. Of course, everybody would know. We want to be appreciated. We want to be told thanks. That is our culture. We have to be told thanks and make the thanks make. When them say thank you, Pitney, or thank you, Mama, it means something. That's our culture. We didn't need a man to personify us, and I'm happy for that, because a lot of us would not succeed. A lot of us would not know how strong we are in order to do the things we are, because we are more than superwoman. Superwoman doesn't describe my mother and my grandmother, who was able to carry 15 children and at the same time tear us and goat and go market and look wood and clean house and the knee and climb tree and cut down tree and cook
and
food out of pot and them thing. We didn't need a man to do that. So we don't need a man then to do that. We definitely want to. Go ahead.
And that's Eva. I'm saying, amidst all this, they are the ones who are delivering their own babies.
Yes.
Of course.
Can you imagine that?
Of course.
Look how the childbirth terrible, and they're there, cut them own, have them own baby, cut the navel string, get up and put on hot water, clean up the baby, clean up themselves.
Jesus.
Oh my goodness, these women.
But
need...
childbirth should not be terrible, you know.
It is painful,
but done in the right way, It is not as painful. How, I mean, our people, I mean, didn't lay down and just go, you have your peel and all of that. You stroke and push out your child.
Oh, Lord.
That's a different way of laying down on your back and trying to push out a child. There, the natural gravity that would make you push out a child with less pain. They know how to have a child with less pain than what it is. Childbirth for a woman is supposed to be a natural thing. They take away the power and bring it into this sterile environment where you call hospital and where you call some big name of gynecological this and all kind of logical that to take every money to make. You have some woman having 10 children in this country and still is a novelty. They don't know where the child is coming from. They would not be able to do it. So much so that if somebody have a child in the back of their car, it make international news. That is supposed to be a normal thing. That's why I'm coming back to you still now to honor the woman who is able to go get up, cut her child navel string, just like how we do in Africa. You're not a field. You have a baby. Them don't have hot water in the field. Them cut up, cut them baby string, tie them baby string and come home with them baby pan them back. Them don't lay down in a hospital for 10, 20 days.
That is true.
You see?
That is true.
So when we talk about the woman in Jamaica, even the midwife, she don't go to no gynecology school or midwifery school. She don't even know if you give her a bullet with A plus B, she eat the same way as them say, and you don't know. But she hardly ever lose a child.
That's true.
You know? So we have the skills. We have the skills as women, especially our Jamaican women. And I'm kind of going off on a tangent here because this is something that I'm so passionate about, the Jamaican woman. I'm just seeing how empowered we are. And the fact sometimes that we... The emotional torture, no, we would call it torture. When a man get up and do a 5 picnic, and when the brown woman come in at the district, and she and him walk off and leave her with 5 picnic and go on to she, and we still hold down the fort. Come on, girls.
Yes.
You know,
the Jamaican woman is versatile. She's resilient.
Yes.
She's made of
steel.
So
when we talk about our children and our school, and I like Mrs. Irvin and your mom and our mom, the backbone of our society. We need to pronate and honor these women because they don't make them like that anymore. And they're warrior. And they put on them tie head, not head tie, you know, tie head.
Tie head.
Oh, and they were on the street. With the Give Back Jamaica program, this is the premise which we are kind of rolling out of because I am a product of that power that I can do anything.
Yes.
There is nothing that I cannot do if I set my mind to it. I don't care what it is. And that, my 80-year-old mother, I dig excavation. 80-year-old mother, I dig excavation. I said she'll make up coop or whatever.
Wow.
She cannot call somebody to do it. This is the people that we are come from. And when we talk about in a society now, when we are imploding and we are really hurting each other, and we're not doing for each other like how my grandparents grew up, where we were able to help each other. We never have a hell of a lot. We shared with each other. We looked out for the community. The same thing with your children. Your children go to school and them are come back from road. You have to have manners because you pass Miss Brown yard and Miss Brown is as good as your mother. You know, rude and feisty because Miss Brown would drop it by you or call your mother
and
make your mother know
your mother...
how rude.
And even sometimes if your mother and Miss Brown don't even talk, if they're not on speaking terms, you make sure you tell Miss Brown good morning. You know, step past her. Because guess what? Somehow, your mother going to hear, so you step past Miss Brown and you're going to get a flogging. You're going to get a beating.
True.
So those were the days when the women of the village or the community, you know, they were like the fence. They bonded. They keep the community, the cohesion of the community. And we thank these women for what they have done for us, what they have shown us. And we need to, you know, to carry on this trait. We don't need to drop it by the side of the road because we're in a new country, we're in a different country. We need to carry it on just the same. So, folks, this is the Caribbean Radio Show, CRS Radio, the Knowledge Station. And you're listening to us as we talk about giving back, donating to Crescent. And we are off on a tangent. This is just the broader part of this, you know. This is just the broader. But in essence, it is all good because this is the life we lived in Jamaica. And we're just highlighting it. We just, you know, we enjoyed this life. Even though we were poor, we had nothing much. Because when I tell people that it was when I went to high school, when I was in second form in high school, that there was electricity in our house and running water. We never had any such thing. We had to go to canal for water. We had to use the home sweet home lamp. And at one time, Daddy had bought one of those lanterns that you pump and you put the spirit in there and the gauze for the wick. And we had that one. And then we had a toilet at night time. You carry the bottle torch, or the backer torch, and the kitchen bitch. So we know, as it is said, we know how to abound. And we know to be, you know, at the base. We know to go up and we know to go down. Because if I come around you and you're eating your, you know, your sophisticated knife and fork and your formal table setting, I can handle that. And if I come to your home and I see you sitting on the floor and eating, you know, I can handle that too. Because I know I have been at the two extremes. I know poverty. I know how to go to my bed without food at nighttime. And guess what? We had the cane field. We had the cane field beside us. And we used to, just when we have the dinner, we just use cane for dinner. We just use cane. Eat cane, eat pile, mounds. We used to have competition as who can make a bigger pile of Mr. Lindo cane field. We used to go in there and act like a fruit one. We just go in there, cut it out and come out and eat. Because we never have anything to eat, right? Some nights I turn cornmeal, just turn cornmeal alone. Turn cornmeal with little peas in it. Turn cornmeal with some perch, some river fish, sunfish are perch. But we made it. We made it. And the children, the present children of Crescent, Crescent Primary, we know about the area that these kids are from. They are from a low socioeconomic area. And a lot of them have it real hard. And if we can help, if we can lend a helping hand to make somebody's life better, let us resolve to make 2022 the year when we help someone, when we make somebody's life better. And sometimes we make our resolution. The first week of January rolls around, we forget everything and we're going back to being the same old mean grouch that we used to be. But folks, let's not be like that. Let's be let's become a giving society. A giving society. And I implore you to go to givebackjamaica.com and just touch the word donate. And trust me, your donations will create shockwaves because for 2022, and I'm going to about to ask Dr. Ev, you know, excuse me, some of the things we are looking forward to handling 2022. So,
our project for 2022, we're going to expand on our Kickers Club. We have had about 5 schools that we're going to be included. The need for the Kickers Club is just really taking off because the need for students to have something comfortable on their feet is a paramount to their education as well, and we're trying to facilitate that. So so far we're looking at delivering 1,500 pairs of shoes to the region of 5 schools. We're really going to be focusing on our Kickers Club this year and our Bellyful Club. So we're talking the foot and the belly. And we're going to be focusing on that. But what I need to say also is that we have to develop a system in our country that I think we have shifted away from totally. And give me a moment to really talk about this, because this is something that I grew up on, and I'm sure it's not archaic in any way, nor something that we should divert from. I think people sometimes take the folks that are given for granted, and they are less than gratitude. They get something, and it's like, although you're given, is like a matter of that, hey, I'm entitled to this, and I'm entitled to this much and so much, and I'm demanding this. And when you give me this, I'm going to tell you this is not enough, this is not good enough, this is not what I want. And I think we need to really and truly make folks understand that the people's effort means something, and they need to really appreciate the effort that other people make towards them, because it means that you're depriving yourself of something, no matter how little. Even if you give a penny, it's a penny that you won't have in your pocket also. So I think we need to come back to the days when people have gratitude for what they get. And really, truly appreciate what they get, and to be less demanding and more appreciative. I think that my mom has taught me that. That's the credence that I live by. And eventually, I think that will bring us much more of delight, much more learn to appreciate. And also, in learning to do that, you will also want to reciprocate the same thing. Hey, somebody gave me this. I am going to give somebody back when I can afford to do this. So I think that in our giving, we should learn to want something back. And what that thing for me is back is that somebody appreciates what I do. That means I give you a shoe.
Thank you.
You're going to take care of it. You're going to be thankful of it. You're not going to be criticized of it, because this is what I can give to you. Oh, I wish I got a Jordan. If you wish you got a Jordan, you shouldn't have taken the not Jordan one then. If it's Jordan you're looking, then you shouldn't take the one that is not Jordan. So I think that we need to install in people's heads to learn gratitude, to learn to be thankful. And what once you learn to do that, you are at least be able to, you know, you're able to give that back to somebody, rather than you know, sitting back and criticizing and, oh, I could have gotten this more, I could have gotten that more, or whatever the situation. So I personally, I demand something from my gift. And my thing is gratitude, because you getting a gratitude, you will learn to give forward, because this is what we should always learn to do, pass the torch.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Well said. You know, so, but, you know, we continue to plow on, and as you said, let us... who are getting these things, that they don't come easy. And gratitude, as the song said, gratitude is a must. Gratitude is a must. But in the meantime, we will continue to give. We will continue to give back. We will continue to ask for donations. And there are some persons, I mean, my mother would say, them poor, but them are smarty. In essence, them poor, but them have manners. Them know how to say thanks. Some people don't know how to say thanks, but those to me are just the few. So we continue to help the ones who really, really need it, really, really need it. And I say this to say that we have somebody on the ground in Jamaica at the school who sees the needs of these children. So it's not just about anybody who is getting, you know, who are getting these shoes or these gifts or these sponsors. Somebody on the ground points out these persons to us, and as a result of that, we go ahead and work with the person on the ground and know who gets the gifts and so on and so forth. We have just 4 minutes of this show left, and I'm going to bring in Auntie Judith. Is she back? I don't think Auntie Judith. You're back, Auntie Judith. Yes. Based on our fundraising, I want us to, you know, to step up our fundraising, because as Dr. F said, we are looking forward to covering 5 schools, and we're looking for 15,000 pairs of shoes. Is it 15,000 or 1,500? Dr. F?
I think it's 1,500.
Mike Chesai, 15,000. 1,500. And that's not easy to come by, folks. But with your help, we will get there. You know, there are 5 schools that we're looking at. We're not just looking. We're launching out from Crescent. Crescent is our baby, but we're launching out because there are other persons who have reached out to us, you know, and asked us for assistance. And we would want to help, lend a helping hand to those. And so, as Dr. F said, we're looking for 1,500 pairs of shoes. And, Judith, we are going to arduously Judith and Auntie Martha, we're going to arduously go forth with our asking for donations, beseeching and begging for contribution. I will until we know, we'll go back again and go ask, because sometimes the first time you ask and they say no, but the second time they say sure, let me get them off my back. So we're going to be persistent in our asking for donations, because we are going to make this 1,500 pairs of shoes a success. And it's going to happen in when, Dr. M? In September, huh? Dr. M? Okay, so we're going to have our shoe donation in September. We're looking forward to 1,500 pairs of shoes. And Judith, we are going to make it. What do you think?
I think that's quite possible.
Mm-hmm.
With the help of our radio listeners. I think that is an excellent goal.
Okay.
And I really feel in my heart that people are going to reach out and people are going to donate, whether it be Crescent alumni or others who are listening to the show. Yes.
Okay. So, Auntie Marcella, what do you say? Because
yes. Yes, I say we can go for it, yeah. And, you know, with the help of the listeners, as Auntie Juliet says, yeah, we can go ahead. I believe that we can make it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, folks, you have been listening to the...
I was going to say, again, if you are listening, I am asking each and everyone, just go to the website.
Givebackjamaica.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. givebackjamaica.com and make your donations for this this venture.
Okay, folks, you've been listening to the Caribbean Radio Show with Give Back Jamaica, and we've looked back at 2021, and 2021 for this project has been a success, and we look forward to having 2022 more successes. And we ask you to go to our website and donate. Thank you all for listening to the show, whether you are listening now or you will catch us in the archive. Thank you so much for listening. Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year. May all your dreams come true. And please, please be safe. Keep yourself safe from this virus because, as them say, COVID not done yet. COVID still a play. So keep yourself safe. Wash your hands. Stay your 6 feet distance. And trust me, you will be good. And in the meantime, you take your vitamins and get enough sunlight. Well, thank you again for listening. And have a pleasant night. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.